Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mental Health America of Fredericksburg is in this morning, and we have lots to talk about. Kathleen Pesolano is here. Marie Stevenson is here. Kathleen is the executive director. Marie is with the is the helpline coordinator with Mental Health America Fredericksburg. Good morning to both of you. It's been a while since you've been in, but it's good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning, Ted.
Boy, Kathleen, when to think of in having you all in this morning, what a year for all of us. But what a year for Mental Health America Fredericksburg. If ever there was a need for what you provide, and we have seen it up close, it's this year.
Absolutely. I think we've all had to look at where we're at, our wellness or our lack of wellness at times. I think mental health has definitely come to the forefront and kind of given the experience to all of us who – for those that normally struggle, what that life is like too for them. So the fact that everybody's kind of in a similar place with, you know, with the unknowns, with the, you know, how do I get help? How mm-hmm. do I change my lives? How do I affect this new normal? What will this be like? And still kind of looking forward with hope, you know, but how do we temper that so it's realistic? And so that's a lot of the work we're doing, especially at this time of the year, because, you know, there was so much hope. I know when we started talking back in April, we were like, oh, by September or by November. Absolutely. You know, 2021. And so we have to kind of temper that to, as we move forward to be realistic, but still, you know, to put things in place right now to take care of ourselves and our loved ones.
Well, and for all these years, when you have come in and in Mental Health America Fredericksburg has come in and talked about these things, funding has always been it's always an issue. And now, especially, I would just think that in some cases, there's so much more you'd like to do, and you're restricted just because of the funding realities.
Very much so. You know, sometimes there's confusion, especially with nonprofits, about the thoughts that, oh, they're funded through the state or localities or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and there are some funding and grant opportunities that, you know, nonprofits like us receive, but a lot of it is the fundraising. It is community support. And our programs are for the community. So, you know, we're always reaching out for people to know that what we offer is free. So no matter where you're at or what you have or who you are, it doesn't matter. You know, we're here for you. But our community has been here for us, too, to help to make sure for the past 65 years that we've been able to continue to have our doors open and are answering our phones. But, you know, now more than ever, that's, you know, crucial, because a lot of the fundraising efforts that we would normally be able to have out in the community where people are able to see the work that we're doing, instead of it being very much, you know, face-to-face with individuals versus out in large groups, you know, that's kind of struggled this year. And I know a lot of people are filled with uncertainty. But in order for the work to continue, absolutely, we need to continue to have the community support us to be able to continue to offer what we do.
You did in November, I thought, you did, it was a week-long virtual fundraising effort that I thought was just so well done. And I watched several of the nights, and it really was well done.
Well, and it was our Walk for Mental Wellness, and so everything that we had that week were all about fun things that you could do or things that you could have in your life to promote your wellness. So whether it be through art or music or comedy, laughter and humor, mm-hmm. That we really wanted people to kind of explore those different media, to take care of, start thinking about taking care of themselves. And just simple practices. So maybe it's a new habit, maybe it's a new sport or hobby or something that you want to do that you can introduce in your life to help promote that wellness. We have to take care of ourselves. It's just like, you know, eating healthy foods and going for walks, right? We have to also take care of our mental wellness too. And that's sometimes forgotten, especially at this busy time of year.
Marie, as far as the helpline goes, I am sure that you've seen just either the volume of calls or just even the topics that you're dealing with, a change this year?
Yes, the severity of the calls has gotten much more critical. We were in a shortage of providers here in the Fredericksburg area prior to COVID. It was not uncommon for doctors to have 200-300 patients on a waiting list waiting to get in to see them. Since COVID has arrived, doctors are not even taking patients for waiting list anymore. They're just saying, I cannot accept any more patients. So even when we have a critical case, last week we had a family who had experienced a suicide. We really wanted to try and get them in to see somebody within 24 hours. And even with me begging the providers on our list, the best I could do was 2 weeks out, which really, when somebody's had a traumatic event, the quicker we get them in, we can lessen those long-term impacts. But there just was not a provider available to see them right away. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking, and it's tragic, because if people are not sick enough or dangerous enough to be admitted to the hospital, there's really no place for them to go right now. Due to COVID, the state had to take 60 beds offline locally. Our crisis stabilization beds had to go offline because there was an infection.
Yeah.
So at one point last week, we were down 80 plus beds in the state, and we only have a few hundred beds to begin with in the entire state.
Wow.
So it's critical mass, and providers are starting to break. I'm getting calls from nurses, from police officers, from therapists who are calling to say, who can get me in maybe sooner instead of later, because I can't keep going like this. Because we're hearing all the struggles of everybody else, and then we're dealing with those same exact struggles. We're reinventing the holidays. We're moving through the grief of losing loved ones and friends to COVID, just like everybody else.
And it's got to be so difficult when you have a client calling and you know that they need help now, and to have to say to them, well, you know, in 2 weeks, that's very difficult.
I take lots of walks. It's absolutely heartbreaking some days, especially when it involves the children. Children are always my Achilles heel. There are many providers' Achilles heel. But we just do not have people that can see them. I mean, today's the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And right now, if a military retiree calls me with TRICARE insurance, there is one doctor I can send them to, and they are in Woodbridge. It's that critical.
Kathleen, there's another area that we don't think about is, you and your staff. You're seeing all of this up close, and we just all figure, and I think a lot of us would just assume, well, they can handle it because they're professionals. But we're all humans, and it's sometimes, I'm sure, tough to walk away from this at night.
It really is. I mean, I feel like probably since this started that we've kind of, a lot of us have been on 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although we're not a 24/7 operation. Marie didn't give herself enough credit that when individuals like the families that she's talking about calling for help, she follows up with them. So she calls and talks to them and checks in, so they have someone at least in their life that knows somebody else is watching out for me and cares about me and is concerned about, you know, me and my family. So sometimes that comfort is the best that we can, and to tell them that we are still here and we'll listen to the challenges and the struggles. And sometimes people that call us, they just need to vent, and they recognize, that there is a complication, or they recognize there's challenges, et cetera. And they get it out and they're like, thank you for just listening, because I haven't been able to share that with anybody because everybody's struggling. And I just needed to be able to say it aloud. And then they move forward some, they wait and get the help that they need. We have a lot of people that call us back afterwards and say, thank you for just staying with me. Mm-hmm. I'm on the road. I'm on the right path now. I'm getting the help that I need, et cetera. But those were rough couple of months, and I just needed to know that somebody else was in my corner. So for us as staff, we try to take care of each other too. So there's a lot of times that we're processing with ourselves, with helping our volunteers that are working with us, and just trying to be that additional support with each other. But it is, it is overwhelming when you wish you could do something right away. We're here to help. Right. So absolutely.
Well, thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
and being on the front lines and in doing all this. We need to take a quick break, but Marie, before we do, the helpline, what is the number?
540-371-2704.
371-2704.
Yep. And you can always reach me there. Always leave me a message. I'll call you back personally.
Marie Stevenson's here. She is the helpline coordinator with Mental Health America Fredericksburg. Kathleen Pesolano is here. She's the executive director. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's Mental Health America Fredericksburg this morning. Kathleen Pesolano and Marie Stevenson here. Boy, talking to you two in this that first segment, you really see, Marie, that just you kind of put a face on a lot of the statistics that we see, because so often, you know, that the health department every day comes out with the numbers and we look at those numbers, but all those numbers are families and people impacted different ways. And you two just really put that into just really a strong focus just there. These are hard times.
It's very hard times. And there's light at the end of the tunnel because a vaccine is coming. We don't know when that tunnel's going to end. And with the holidays coming, we're doing a lot of work with people right now about being more realistic on the expectations, you know, reimagining the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, which... We talk about it now in the time of COVID, but I tell people, you know, I had to learn to do this after I lost both my parents when I was younger. You know, anytime a family loses a family member, they have to shift their holidays. But this year, there's hundreds and hundreds of families around us that we're trying to help shift their holidays and to be more realistic and say it's okay that things are not like they always were in the past.
Absolutely.
And as you talk, Kathleen, and just you know, the stories that you both have talked about, you just sometimes want to shake some people and just say, this is real. This is real.
It is. These are real people, real families that are struggling. You know, there are neighbors, there are coworkers, there are family members. A lot of times it's after the fact, unfortunately, when something bad happens that a family member will say, I didn't notice. So it is our family members. It's, you know, the people that we see at the store. They're here in our neighborhood and our community, and they're struggling, and so we're all about, you know, making sure that, you know, we're reaching out to each other and checking in on each other, that we are asking those questions mm-hmm. beyond that first fine, right? Because mm-hmm. how are you today, Ted? What would you tell me?
I'm fine.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. right? We don't think about it. It doesn't go any deeper. And when that person says, well, I've noticed I don't think you're really, that you've been your usual self. Are you sure? Right? It's that second question that gives that pause. And it's a time where someone realizes you actually notice mm-hmm. and you're concerned about me. Mm-hmm. And either it opens the door for either a conversation or opens the door for that person to at least know you're somebody that they might be able to talk to. Right? To get support from, to get some direction. When people are struggling, it's not an easy time to think through, to problem solve, to make decisions, to research mm-hmm. information. And that's why, you know, having our helpline available to help people navigate, you know, the mental health care system. I don't have to worry that I know what a psychiatrist does or a psychologist does or who does this and what that particular type of therapy is and whether it's something I would like to do or that I need. I can reach out and ask the helpline and just say, I've never been to a therapist. I don't know what I'm looking for. I just know I'm struggling. You know, and then mm-hmm. Marie takes it the rest mm-hmm. of the way and asks those questions that a lot of times people wish other people would ask them, right? Beyond the fine, how are you doing? So tell me a little bit more about what does this look like? You know, what are the challenges that you're facing in order to get that help and support that you need?
And a lot of times it just begins with somebody calls and they're like, I don't know what I need. And I'm like, tell me your story. Just tell me the story of what's going on today in your life. And based on the story they tell me, I can go through using my years of experience and be like, this is the kind of provider we need to get you to. Mm-hmm. These are the steps we're going to do. So even if you don't know how to talk to a family member, that's okay. You can call me and we can do a little conference call, or you and I can process through it so that you're better able to go talk to that family member then. Because if you don't do this every day, it can be intimidating to say, are you okay? And take and not take that fine for an answer, and then ask that follow-up question. Where, unfortunately, I do this all day, every day, so I'm used to that conversation and that awkward pause that you often get during it.
Or, and there's always that worry when somebody, if they share something, what am I going to do with it, right? If I open that Pandora's box, right? If I open it and you share something really deep and dark where I have to worry about your, you know, you taking your own life, or I have to worry about you being harmful to someone else, you know, or whatever, you know, what do I do then? And that's what that kind of holds people back from asking. But this is a great resource where if you do ask that question, you say, I'm not sure, right? None of us are perfect. We don't have to know everything, but I know where we can call. We can call together and we can ask those questions, and I'm here with you. So you're not alone in sharing that feeling, or sharing those thoughts, or sharing that experience. I'll be here with you to do that. And really taking that time to be with the person, you know, giving somebody a number doesn't always is as helpful as we think it is, right? Because they have just told you something very hard, and now to ask me to tell a stranger.
Right.
So that's why we're always very cautious, because sometimes people call us and they think we're the doctor and they want to tell us everything.
Yeah.
Like that's their first therapy session, and it's hard because I know they're going to have to tell somebody else, but it's like walking them through so that they know that was, you know, that experience is valuable, that that's important, that they matter. And what that will look like. We're all about walking them through there so there's less barriers, there's less things to make people anxious or fearful of what will happen next when I open that door.
And I have been personally in most of the mental health facilities in the Northern Virginia, Southeastern Virginia area. So I can tell you right down almost to the chair placement in some of these facilities, what it's going to look like when your loved one goes in, what they can take, what they can't take, especially with the children. You know, there's a certain size box that all their toys they take have to fit into. No elastic in their pants, no shoelaces, those kinds of things. We can process through that. And one of the biggest things I always want to tell people is by asking somebody if they're going to hurt themselves, that does not make them hurt themselves. That's the big myth that holds a lot of people back from having these conversations, is they're afraid they're going to put that idea into somebody's head. You cannot lead somebody to suicide. If somebody is going to take their own life to complete the act, that is something they're going to do on their own, regardless of whether you ask the question or not. Now, you can interrupt them by asking the question, but you can't put them into that mode.
And that's a good thing to know, because I think a lot of us think that. But I like, Kathleen, when you said, if you do suspect someone, whether it's a family member or someone you work with or a neighbor, that second question, you know, are you, you know, after we all say,
right.
We all say, I'm fine, even if everything's crashing down around you. But to ask that second question, I think it does. It shows you're noticing some things.
Right, and being very targeted about what you are noticing. Because I think that gives evidence to them that you have noticed. Because a lot of times people feel like nobody can tell, right? I wear the mask, everything's fine.
Right.
I do all the things I'm supposed to do, but there's something wrong. There's something empty. There's something happening inside. And so to be able to have that person say, but I've noticed this, I've noticed that, and I've noticed those changes in behavior. So as well kept as they thought they were doing, you noticed enough because you cared. And so by pointing those out, it really does make it obvious, makes it real that you've noticed, you've been thinking about this, you wanted to approach them because you're concerned, and that's that handout, right? You have that handout, I'd like to help you if you'll let me, right? And then they've got that opportunity to choose, is this the moment, is this not, will they confide, will they not? But that'll still be in their head for a while after that you are somebody who they can when they're ready. And so recognizing that, even if the person doesn't right away disclose, that you have opened that door and given them pause to really think, and also start thinking about what really is going on inside of them. We're not all okay, and it's okay that we're not okay at the moment, every moment, right? That wouldn't be realistic, but sometimes we think we have to be. So letting them have that pause to at least do a self-assessment. Maybe I'm not okay. What's going on? What am I struggling with? And to start having, you know, those own internal conversations about it too.
And I like, you know, when they're ready, because you may ask that second question and they may not, they may again say, I'm good. But like you say, then they know that they're not hiding it quite as well. And who knows when, you know, the next time maybe they do open up.
Absolutely. Yep. That's all you have to do is open the door. just a little bit.
Again, the helpline number is 540-371-2704, 371-2704. And I'm sure, Marie, too, you've dealt with people who never thought they'd be in this situation. Certain situations have happened, whether it's been they've lost family members or a job or any number of things this year, and all of a sudden they're dealing with things that they never, ever imagined.
Several times a day I get that comment. I never have had to do this before. I never thought this would happen to me. This has never happened in our family before.
Yeah.
You know, these are unprecedented times. We talk about it around the office about how people feel like they're just walking through quicksand right now because you have to spend so much time doing things you never worried about before. I know I tried to order groceries over the weekend and toilet paper is again on short supply,
yeah.
You know, and 1 week it's the Swiss rolls. And, you know, so we're spending energy on things that, you know, it used to almost be automatic. I'll just run by the grocery store now. You have to pre-plan that. You know, parents are at home trying to teach their kids and work from home. And it's, you know, the worlds are colliding. And, you know, kids are not used to being on the computer all day, every day, nor are parents. You know, when they're remote working, you know, we talk about that too. You know, we expect everybody to sit and do all these conference calls back to back. But if you were in a traditional office setting, you'd be around the water cooler, you know, having a laugh, you know, getting up, taking a walk, doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody would think anything of it. But now, because of COVID, you know, you might have 3 or 4 hours of screen time back to back with no breaks. And that is really taking a toll both on the adults and the children in our community.
We're getting a lot of people who are calling us, especially about attention deficit, you know, that the hyperactivity, et cetera, mm-hmm. and just they're like, I can't focus any longer. I just can't do mm-hmm. that. And you know, and I'm like, you know, I can't either. I think there's just so much going on in our brain right now
yeah.
that it really is, and that's okay. And that's where we aren't permitting ourselves to say it's okay that we're not doing this like the best ever, or we're doing the best that we can. And kind of accepting that at the moment, and then doing some little things. Like we talk all the time about, you know, giving ourselves, well, I'll do this for, you know, whatever, you know, for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to go do this. It's almost like you have to give yourself little treats along the way to
yes.
say, I need to have, I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to go, you know, do whatever, and, you know, and something, menial task that doesn't take a lot of brain work because my brain needs a break. Things like that, that it just makes a difference when you do that, and then you do feel like, because otherwise, we just feel like we're not at our best, but we're all doing the best we can. So.
We are. I mean, I'm the queen of setting the timer now for doing statistics, because in order to get funding, you have to keep stats on how many men, how many women, what county they called for, what was the issue they were calling about. And to find the focus to do that in between the phone calls I'm getting, which are so intense, I'm literally finding I have to set the timer and say, I'm going to do this for 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, where I used to be able to do it, she'll tell you, I could sit for 3 and 4 hours and do these stats. Now I'm like, okay, I need a break and I need to walk away.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is these days.
Wow, good stuff this morning. Marie Stevenson and Kathleen Pesolano, Mental Health America, Fredericksburg, MHAFred.org. As we go along this morning, we're going to talk again about just the need to become a regular donor for Mental Health America Fredericksburg, how important that is in these days. Need to take a quick break. We'll return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Mental Health America Fredericksburg, our focus. Kathleen Pesolano and Marie Stevenson here. MHAFred.org is the website. Kathleen, we have, this has just been so just real life this morning, but you deal with a lot of real life situations, and there are a lot of components, I think, that a lot of us don't realize to Mental Health America Fredericksburg. I know I didn't.
We do. You know, so we are like the best kept secret. I always tell people when they call us or they get help or they see us events or, you know, volunteer for us, I'm like, please don't keep it as a secret. We want everybody to know so they know where they can go and get help.
Yeah.
But no, we have some great programs. Besides our helpline, we also have a senior visitors program. So it's for lonely, isolated seniors. It matches them with a volunteer. It's the same volunteer every week for at least an hour a week. And it's for companionship. It really is about those friendships and having that connection, you know, to our community, remaining part of our community. They're residing still in their own homes or in apartments, but they're still in our community, but they've been kind of separated from that. It could be due to mobility. It could be due to health issues right now, COVID. But it's basically caused them to kind of lose touch. And, you know, we know that those are huge risk factors for depression, especially in older adults, is that disconnection and that seeing all your family and friends and everybody move away and you're alone. And I think a lot of us got perspective of what that was like when we had to kind of shelter in place in home. You know, if we had somebody with us or we didn't, we greatly appreciate it. So that's our senior visitors program. And then we also have our suicide prevention education program. Jordan's usually here talking about that. Mm-hmm. You know, we go into the schools, but we also go into community groups, both with adults and youth, and we teach them about those warning signs, right? What to look for somebody that might be, you know, being depressed. You know, what are those risk factors or red flags that somebody might be considering harming themselves? And then especially how to intervene and how to get help for themselves and others. And we're seeing a huge need for that, having those conversations with both youth and adults, you know, about how do I help them? How do I help myself? You know, what do I do when this happens? And then we have support groups for everything from those that are struggling with a chronic mental illness, teens that are struggling with anxiety, depression, stress, not sure what the next year is going to bring. That's a lot of our teens right now.
Sure.
And then, you know, those that have lost a loved one to suicide, that grief process, you know, it no matter how long or how short it's been, it changes who you are. And it changes how you face the holidays. It changes, you know, what your normal is, what your traditions are, et cetera. And having that support during that process, kind of recreating your new normal. So we have those types of programs too. And as I mentioned earlier, all of our programming is free. So it's all about being supported, you know, by our community, for our community.
Go to MHAFRED.org to find out how to donate and become part of this. Because you deal with, you know, as you described, you deal with whether it's youth or senior citizen, you deal with everybody in all these different groups. And I'm sure it's been a stress this year on all of you that you've had to rechange things of not being able to go and work in the schools or just everything, nothing is the same. And so all the different programs you have and how you go through and put them into place has changed.
Absolutely. You know, so our senior visitors, it's normally that face-to-face visit for an hour, but for a lengthier period of time, since basically February, those face-to-face visits had to end.
Yeah.
Because of the high-risk nature of who we were serving. And so they had to find creative ways. So it might have been window visits. It might have been leaving presents on their doorsteps, writing letters. Some of them that were a little more savvy might phone calls, you know, might have done, you know, like video calls. You know, just finding creative ways to tell them that we cared about them, that we were still thinking about them. And their volunteer, you know, was very involved. They could do, you know, might run errands for them, might drop off groceries for them, you know, just checking, just simple yard work or things that normally even they would be going out and doing, they couldn't do for themselves because they didn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things. We've reestablished face-to-face with limits, with masks, with social distancing, etc. But, you know, we have a lot of people who are now doing more pen pal type, you know, who are writing to a lonely senior, and at least establishing that type of connection to that writing back and forth, knowing that there's somebody else out there who is interested in them, is interested in their story, you know, who really builds a friendship. It's a friend. They feel like family members. So that's a, you know, it's amazing to see those kind of touching stories. So no matter when there's kind of bad news, you know, seeing the other side of things too, of how, you know, one simple act of kindness really changes everybody involved. You know, and our volunteers say that I learned so much from that experience in working with a senior, I you know what I mean? Like, even more, I don't know if my senior appreciates it as much as I look forward to that hour a week or that 2 hour, whatever I give. You know, it's just amazing. So those kind of opportunities to give back, but then to also be able to, I think you learn a lot about who you are and what it means to be a community.
If I want to volunteer, what's the best way to do that? And I'm sure you get all kinds of training if when you volunteer.
Absolutely. So we have volunteer opportunities that are everything from, you know, maybe it's you're not ready to want to or don't want to work direct service. You don't feel comfortable there yet. We have, you know, that are more clerical, that are more, you know, prepping materials, mm-hmm. that are helping us to get materials out, you know, to the schools so that they can have them available to hand out, you know, to have, you know, mailings that we send out to remind people of self-care. Right now we're putting together some baskets for the counselors at the schools to help give them materials and stuff, and support them too as frontline workers. We have volunteer opportunities, like I said, with the Senior Visitors Program, where you could be a visitor for one particular senior. And that, you know, that all involves additional training, obviously, in what to expect and what to look out for and how to be responsive to their needs. Same thing with Helpline. We have, you know, volunteers that can learn and be trained to help us by answering the Helpline. We have two lines, so when staff are there, we answer the phones, et cetera. But if one staff is working remotely, you know, then somebody mm-hmm. else answering the other line, so that there's always somebody available is helpful. We also have volunteers for more of the, when we actually can go out to health fairs or virtual events now to come and share who we are and what we do to different groups. So we focus.
And that is critical, because what happens to me oftentimes when I'm at a health fair or even when I'm in a virtual call with somebody is somebody will decide that is the day they want to get help. And we love it when that happens. But the problem is when I'm working with that one individual person, then there might be 20 or 30 other people that I can't be with right then and there. So that is where the volunteer steps up and they pass out literature and they're like, just saying, she will be right with you. If they don't know the answer to the question, they don't have to know all the answers. Just hang here for a minute. I'll get you with her next. So they're like my second set of hands and my second set of ears, because you never want to be where you can't help that one person that today is the day they decided they needed help. So that is why it's critical, especially for me, that I have a volunteer with me all the time. And my volunteers also do things like they mail letters to pediatricians just to let them know that we're there. Because the big thing right now is ADHD, as Kathleen said, a lot of kids are struggling. So a lot of doctors are like, you need to get testing, but I don't know exactly where to send you. So they refer their patients over to us and then we help them get the testing done. So that is a critical need of the volunteers for me. I love my volunteers. They do amazing work. They do my statistics when I can. They create databases for me.
So it sounds like there are all kinds of there's something for you that you'll get placed into something that you'll feel comfortable with and be really needed.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have people that scrapbook for us, people that scan documents for us.
Yeah.
You know, strictly away from client services if that's what they're comfortable with.
MHAFRED.org is the website, and I'm guessing that there's a volunteer.
There is a volunteer tab on there. Please click on it. Check out what opportunities there are. And there is a form on there that you can fill out, and it'll go directly to me or it'll go directly to Marie, depending on where your interests are. And, you know, we get right back with you to get you started.
Marie, one of the things, and it's so easy, I think, in this hour just to go through this and just be like, wow, this is heavy. But I would also think on the flip side, when you are able to help someone and really get them set in the right path right now, that's got to be pretty invigorating.
Oh, yeah. I'm the happiest girl on earth when I find out that I helped somebody. I had a case that I worked for over a year to get somebody to a good placement, and they finally just got to a good place. And that was very empowering. Or when the family calls back and they're like, they went to the hospital and now they have medication, or now they're in therapy and they're doing so much better. I'm like, thank you. You know, so there are a lot of successes, and, you know, we don't mean to make it sound like we're, you know, always sad and doom and gloom, because we're not. We have a lot of fun at the office, and we help a lot of people every month.
That is exciting. That's why you want to get involved if you've got some time and can help. Mm-hmm. MHAFRED.org, and click the volunteer and also click the donate tab. And help out those ways. MHAFRED.org. Kathleen Pesolano and Marie Stevenson is here. We'll take a break a little bit early, and we come back. We're going to talk about holiday stress and how to handle holiday stress. Wouldn't we wrap it up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA?
Opinions. We've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mental Health America, Fredericksburg here this morning. Great stuff with Kathleen Pesolano and Marie Stevenson. Before we get out of here this morning, a little extra time here to talk about, as we have talked about, just kind of dealing with how you have how you've dealt with the world and the situation all year, Kathleen. I thought we would wrap it up and talk about holiday stress, because that's here this year. And I know you've got a list of things that you and Marie are going to talk about.
Absolutely. So we want to first, recognize, the feelings that you're having. So, if you're starting to feel overwhelmed, or you're starting to feel, we all know our telltales of when we're feeling stressed, mm-hmm. right? So maybe it's a stress headache. Maybe we feel the tension in our shoulders, like everybody has that spot where their temper is short, right? So somebody asks you one more thing and you're like, no, I can't do it. First thing is just acknowledge that feeling, right? You're overwhelmed, you're stressed, it's okay. That you're not alone, and that doesn't negate that, but that normalizes it, right?
Yeah.
That it makes total sense, especially at this time, at this year, at this point, that you might feel overwhelmed. Because you are relearning every little thing that you're doing. How am I going to make this happen? How do I adapt and adjust it to make it work? So first thing is just acknowledge that feeling, okay? Give yourself credit for that, and that's okay. I've been talking a lot here about the whole being realistic, mm-hmm. okay? So the expectations of it, I love at this time of the year that we have the Hallmark Channel and we have all the wonderful, right, shows, but none of them are wearing masks. None of them are socially distancing. They're all still having parties and celebrations,
yes.
and gatherings and all these amazing, adventures. And obviously our holiday looks very different this year, even if in mm-hmm. past years it didn't look the same. So being realistic that might be fun to watch, but that's fiction. Let's look at what's realistic right now, right? And being okay with that, what's realistic right now. So maybe it's not a large gathering, but maybe me and my, my family are together and we do this and we keep it very simple. That we are making those thoughtful kind of ideas, and that's okay. And that's beautiful, mm-hmm. because if we're so busy thinking about what we don't have, we'll never enjoy what we have. And so that's critical.
And sometimes you can reimagine it. My daughter is a rainbow girl, and they usually have wonderful Christmas parties this time of year. But this year they're doing cookies and caroling from the comfort of home. Everybody's going to get on Zoom together with their plate of cookies in their own house, and they are going to sing Christmas carols till the last person runs out of cookies, is what they decided they're doing. And our group of friends we know just did gingerbread houses via Zoom. They sat all their kids down, and everybody had their computer, and they had a gingerbread house competition via Zoom. And that's okay. And you have to give yourself some slack. I mean, do you really want to dig out grandma's china for 6 people when you're used to having 30? Maybe paper plates and bar food, as one of my friends just said. She's doing more of like appetizer type things.
Yeah.
Is better than the traditional big sit-down dinner. The meme going around now is run the dishwasher twice. Give yourself permission not to pre-wash. Just run it twice and be done with it. To give yourself a little sanity, moms. Let's do that. You can do all kinds of things like that. Shop online versus going into the stores if the stores are stressful for you and crowded, because so many of us don't want to be around other people right now. Order some, meals takeout. My family and I recently picked up BJ's Brewhouse and dropped it at my mother-in-law's door, because we can't be with her because she's elderly and we were worried about that. But we could pick up dinner and drop it off briefly. That was our way of having that holiday experience. And that is okay.
I love one of the examples you've given before is, you know, having girls' night out, mm-hmm. but, you know, having your you know, instead, you know, video calling each other and, mm-hmm. and having your glass of wine sitting in the comfort of your home and still laughing and enjoying those jokes and those stories, the things that you would mm-hmm. have had camaraderie, even if it's not safe to be together. You know, so you don't miss out on those moments, because we all need that time to de-stress too and to feel connected to other people. We just may have to do it in a different way, and being okay with that, because that was a lot of fun.
It was amazing. I will tell you, girls' night out via Zoom, drinking your wine in the comfort of your own bed in your pajamas, it eliminates so many steps that you just never think about. You know, and my friends and I had a lovely night because we are all special needs moms. We all have high-risk children, so we can't be together.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things, you know, anything you can do, watch Disney Plus together so you can, the kids can have that moment, you know, if you traditionally watched movies with grandma. And then the biggest thing too, is if you're starting to really feel overwhelmed, the minute you start to feel overwhelmed or you see your children getting overwhelmed and you think you might need professional help, that is the time to call for an appointment. Please don't wait until you're in a crisis to call. I mean, you can call us in a crisis, but it's a lot harder to get you help in a crisis. Where if you, the minute you think you might need some help, we start dealing with it, we start moving that way, it's a lot easier to solve. It's kind of like going to the dentist when you first feel the twinge versus waiting for the tooth to fall out.
Right.
It's easier.
And I always tell people, I said, you know, you can always make an appointment and you can change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't 2 months in the future, you know, like I can't make that appointment appear.
Right.
Yeah.
So just looking ahead.
That's good advice.
So definitely planning ahead is a huge thing. Like you said, shopping online, getting help for things. So maybe you were, I will do everything. I will organize the Christmas. It will be wonderful or whatever. Maybe instead you're delegating and you're saying, can you do this and help me out in that way? Can you, mm-hmm. you know, can you take care of that? You know, engaging children to help, you know, in the wrapping process or in other things that normally maybe you did. Having them share in that time too together is a wonderful thing, and it not just being on the shoulder of one person. That once again, kind of, I think those are moments that you can make great connections that maybe in the past we haven't, because we've wanted it always to be just right,
mm-hmm.
and now be accepting what just right looks like.
And no, I'm shame and frozen pizza night.
All great ideas. Theme music is starting to play, and so I'm getting stressed.
Okay,
because,
sorry.
Because, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Great stuff. Mental Health America, Fredericksburg, mhafred.org, Kathleen Pesolano, Marie Stevenson, thank you so much. This has been great stuff, and this is a conversation that will continue into January and into much of next year. Thanks again. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
MHAFred.org. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.